stars that bright. I know who made the earth and sky. He's the Lord of the heavens, so make it loud and say it again.
You spoke and gave us breath, gave us victory over death.
Shows that nothing in this world is permanent. But there is a legend about a young man who looked at that face day after day after day. I think, was it Nathaniel Hawthorne that wrote the Great Stone Face? Well, anyway, this young man looked at that great stone face day after day after day, and he kept hoping that there would be someone who would embody that great stone face. That was the legend of the area. But in the process of time, the young man became mature in years, and he was disappointed that no one came to embody that face. But as he walked into town, I believe one day, people began to point at him, and they had their hands over their mouths. They couldn't believe, because here was the embodiment of the stone face. The Bible says that as we look into the face of Jesus, we become like him. So may we have a separated walk, a consecrated walk, also a graduated walk. Here it says we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Some of you have graduated from high school. Some of you have graduated from college. Some of you have graduated from elementary school and so forth. But there come a day that we will graduate. Those of us who who know Jesus Christ will graduate to glory, to heaven. That continuing city. This life is not the end. In fact, it's just the beginning of eternity. And we need to be walking in such a way. There was a man in the Old Testament whose name was Enoch. And the Bible said that he walked with God. And then he was not, for God took him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I mean, it's not just a thought. It was a fact, of course. A fact of history. A fact that speaks of the time when Jesus will come again and He will call His bride, the church, those of who have made a covenant of faith with Him, and they will be caught up to meet Him in the air, the Bible says. And it will be a graduation day for those of us who know the Lord Jesus. Think back to that graduation day if you had one. I'm sure you had one of some kind. But think of the joy, the fulfillment, the sense of achievement, the well done, good and faithful servant. In a much higher sense, that will be fulfilled when we get to heaven. And we will find that it was worth it all. We who love Jesus and who may not always be the people that He would have us to be, but are striving to walk that luminous walk. But also there is the quality of the luminous worship. Through Jesus, it says in verse 15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. First of all, here there is a conduit. It says, through Jesus. I think the reason why it says through Jesus is that our praise, just coming from ourselves, is not good enough for God. Because again, even though we may be saved, and I trust that you are saved if you're here this morning, but you're still only worthy because of Jesus. I am still only worthy because of Jesus. And so He must be the conduit of our worship. What does that mean? Well, I think it means that we need to give Him the glory. That when people say, well, what a wonderful person you are, how kind you are, how good you are, you need to realize where that goodness comes from. It comes from Jesus, doesn't it? And I think we ought to magnify Jesus in our homes. We ought to look at our homes as an avenue to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ in our homes and without our homes. He is the conduit of worship. There's a content of worship. Here it says, therefore, let us, through Jesus, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Now, I'm thankful that we don't have to give burnt sacrifices anymore, aren't you? I mean, if I tried to cook something, it would probably be a burnt sacrifice. But I wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't benefit from it. Certainly no one else would benefit from it. But we do have a sacrifice to make here, it says. And that sacrifice is a sacrifice of praise. And we've given a little praise to the dads here this morning. You may have to buy a bigger hat size next time. But that's all right. We need that human praise, but God delights in the praises of His people. And we ought to seek ways to praise Him, and not only as we worship together, but in our homes. Wouldn't it be wonderful if instead of yelling and arguing, people as they walk by would hear us singing praise songs to the Lord, or reading the Scriptures, or ministering to one another. I know sometimes we think, well, you know, the home's where we can let our hair down and, you know, kind of let, you know, the real me show. And just kind of, you know, like there's no restrictions, like we don't need to live a Christian life in the home. Well, that's wrong. If there's anywhere we ought to live a Christian life, it's in the home. And I think the state of our home, of the Christian home, or any home today in America, is commentary on how we treat people in the homes, isn't it? There's a content of worship. There's a conduct of worship. It's to be personal. Worship that doesn't come from the heart is a sham and hypocrisy. It's to be continual. Here it says, Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Worship cannot be turned on and off like a faucet. True worshipers worship not just on Sunday, but on every day and every hour. Jesus said that the Father seeks such to worship Him. And He said that not in a temple or a place of worship, but on a hot day, seated by a well in Samaria. And said them to a woman who had probably never been in a church before in her life or a place of worship. He said the Father seeks such to worship Him. So we ought to have a luminous walk and a luminous worship in that lighthouse. That should be lighthouse, I'm sorry. But we should also have a luminous witness. Jesus said, "Ye are the light, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Here it says, "Do not forget to do good and to share with others." Well, right before that, it talks about the fruit of lips that confess His name. And then it says, "Let us not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." How do we worship here? Well, obviously we worship by word. Because it says, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Now, we also worship by works. But there are people who will say, I don't agree with telling people that they ought to be saved, or telling people that they ought to become a Christian. That's intolerant. You know, the politically correct view is you let people make their own decision. And you just kind of live the life that is right for you, and then maybe it'll catch on. Well, if you don't tell someone about Jesus, and you know Jesus personally yourself, you have been saved, God is going to hold you responsible. The Bible teaches that. God said to Ezekiel, "I've made you a watchman." And a watchman would call out if there was any danger. And if there was a house on fire and you saw people in the house that were unaware that the top of their house was burning and they were about to burn to the ground, why, it would be criminal for you not to tell them. And so we need to witness by word. Without words, our witness is ineffective. And it's also hypocritical, because people will think that we're just better people. We're just good people. Now, I don't know whether people think, I'm a good person or you're a good person. You know, I have some flashbacks that come to me as I'm preaching sometimes. And I know I don't always live like a Christian, especially where I think people don't know me. Of course, this is MODOK. Everyone knows everybody. So we ought to live as Christians, shouldn't we? Whether people know us or not. We ought to live the life. But if we're not sharing the word, then people are just going to think that we're good people. So we need to witness both by word and in works. Amen. To do good, the Bible says, and to communicate. That means to share, to give. Forget not. And in the book of Acts, it says of the first believers that they were all together and had all things common. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul. And there was no one who had needs there, but as everyone had need, they shared out of what God had given them. That means that God has given enough to His body, the church. And God has promised to supply all of our needs. And so we are to do good. We're to do good works. We're to not just tell people they're going to hell if they don't believe the gospel, but to reach out a helping hand to them. I think that's the problem that we have sometimes with our neighbors. We forget that there but for the grace of God go we. And we forget that God put us next door to that neighbor to witness to that neighbor, as cantankerous as they may be. Of course, they probably think we're worse. Unloving, hypocritical, judgmental. And that's why God has told us this in His Word. The hymn writer wrote, "Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light." That's what our homes ought to be doing. Sending the light. That hymn that I, or gospel song that I alluded to earlier, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning," it's called, was written by Philip Bliss, a hymn writer. I think we still have some of his hymns. He was a hymn writer, an associate of D.L. Moody in Chicago. And D.L. Moody was a great evangelist. And one time he preached about an incident that evidently happened on Lake Erie near Cleveland. It was a stormy night on that lake. And if any of you have ever lived on the Great Lakes, you know that they can be very treacherous. Now, many ships lakes. Well, this ship was trying to make the shore, and the waves were mountainous. But the lights along the shore, they had lights, not just one lighthouse, but they had lights that would line the shore and show to anyone that was in the lake there how to get to the harbor. And of course, it was before the time of electricity. So they had to be lit and kept lit. And I'm sure in stormy weather, it was a big job. But in the end, the ship was lost because the lower lights were not kept burning. And he used that as an illustration for our Christian lives. We need to keep those lower lights burning, those lights here in this dark world, because otherwise people are not going to find the harbor of safety in Christ. May God make our homes lighthouses for Him.